Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to a very special episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter. But Kyle, why is this a very special episode? Or do you just say that every time?
I say it every time, but this actually is a very special episode, because it is a follow-up to our episode about butts.
Yay!
I can't name the number of the episode offhand. I'm sure Peter could.
Well, listeners, if you go to getyourfunk.com, along with me, I will figure out which episode that was.
Follow along at home.
Oh, yeah.
Be sure to get your parents' permission before going online.
And if you have your free AOL CD, you get 99 free minutes.
Oh my God. Do you remember that, right? Like, yeah. As a kid, you would get that shit in the mail. I always thought that was... I mean, as a kid, you're just like, whatever, it's internet. But it's funny looking back on it now. It's like, oh my God, they literally tried to... They tried to charge for internet like they charged for, you know, telephone minutes.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Anyway, that was Songs About Butts. Was episode 127. Came out just over 2 years ago, actually. And
yay.
That blows my mind. I thought we just did that.
I know, right?
Okay.
So this is a follow-up to Songs About Butts. We felt that while butts are good... we can't ignore the other obvious body part that many songs are about, and that is, for lack of a better word, boobs.
Yay! Also known as breasts, or other words that will probably come up during this topic.
Headlights. tatas.
Hooters.
Titties. Jugs. Does anyone call them jugs anymore?
The girls.
Yeah. See, there's just not that many words for them.
I'm sure there's more. We're not thinking of them.
You're probably right.
Now, so, yeah, in the butts episode, we had lots of butt puns throughout, so I'm expecting nothing less this time around.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Every transition will be abreast with just amazing.
Oh, jeez. Okay, that was good.
Amazing transitions.
All right, so you came up with a list of songs about breasts.
I did. Surprisingly, there aren't a lot of songs about boobs, which I find disappointing. It probably goes without saying a lot of the songs we talked about with butts were rap songs, because that genre is keen on, I don't want to say objectifying, but accentuating.
Body parts.
Yes, female body parts. However, the vast majority of those songs tend to be about the booty.
This ties in slightly, I mean, tangentially, with our 200th episode from a few weeks ago. Remember how we were talking about, like, the data of, like, topically, like, what is in song titles and song lyrics?
Yes.
And I think anyone can say, obviously, like, sexuality has grown in music over the past few decades. But that episode kind of was like mathematically showing correct, like, yes, that's correct. So, I think if you're talking about, are all of these rap songs that you found for this?
Rap or R&B, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, those genres were, especially rap, is like more prevalent in the last few decades anyway, along with that shift toward more sexual lyrics, for better, lack of a better term. So I guess it makes sense time-wise that, like, you wouldn't go back to, you know, 1940 and being like, hey, here's our rock and roll song about tits. And I'm pretty sure rock and roll is after the 1940s, but let's keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, so I chose a handful of songs about breasts that, you know, highlighted those particular assets, either in the title or in the lyrics.
Okay.
So the first song I picked is the song Put 'Em on the Glass by Sir Mix-a-Lot, which is funny because Sir Mix-a-Lot came out with the song Baby's Got Back, which I believe we actually discussed in the episode Songs About Butts, because it's one of those, you can't discuss butts without that song.
That's true.
I think it's funny that he also was the forefather of titties, I guess. I don't know.
Well, songs about them.
Yes. Yes, he invented them.
To be clear.
So yeah, so the song Put Him on the Glass actually came off of his 1994 album, Chief Boot Knocker. Yeah, that's
did we say knockers as a
no, we did not.
Thing?
Ah, there you go. Actually, I think it was off of his third album in 94.
Okay.
And this was similarly the biggest hit off of that album. It was basically released, it was released as a single beforehand, and basically went on to become a huge strip club anthem because it's about boobs.
So this was a bigger hit than Baby Got Back?
No, it wasn't a bigger hit than Baby Got Back, but it was the biggest, it was the biggest hit and the single off of this album.
Oh, so this is, those weren't from the same album. Okay, I get you.
No.
I got confused.
No, you're good. So yeah, I guess without further ado, let's play Put Him on the Glass. And I'm gonna put mine on the glass. Still got game in a damn thing changed. I spot two Z's in the left lane. Eye contact is on. I'm rolling down windows, pointing at phones. And she's popping them buttons and yanking that blouse. Girl, let it all out. And that's what she did. Baby, ain't no kid. 36 D's, I make a man's head. I'm putting in work on the freeway.
Sounds fairly similar to Baby Got Back.
Yeah, it's definitely, he's definitely pulling from some source material there.
Yeah,
he's so squeezing.
Did this one come out after that one?
Yes. Hold on, let me research. Yeah, it was off of his fourth album. Sorry, not his third. In '94, the album reached number 69, and it says it was nominated for a Grammy Award. Best rap solo performance, but lost to Dr. Dre's Let Me Ride.
That's funny. Speaking of Dr. Dre.
Good segue.
Next song.
Yeah. So, the next song is interesting. So, it's called Tootin' on the Hooters. It's just fun to say. Speaking of Hooters, have you ever been to a Hooters, Peter?
I have not.
I don't know if their food is that great. I remember... Someone took me there when I was like 12 or 13 during that awkward
and I
like
got
kid
my
phase.
First erection.
Pretty much. You know that like awkward kid that awkward kid phase where like you start to get boners but you like can't really control them.
Mm.
Yeah. That was fun and traumatizing. Hooters is a weird restaurant. It's you're going there for one very specific purpose, but at the same time their food's kind of crap, so it's like, do you put up with the crap food because of the quality of service, quote unquote?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Mm. So anyways, that idea kind of makes me uncomfortable. Just
I know, right?
Personally.
Yeah, it's like a strip club, but without the stripping and with shitty food.
Yay.
Whoever invented Hooters, I don't know, Jim Hooter, is probably just rolling in money and probably boobs. So.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
Yep. So anyways, tooting on the Hooters.
Yeah, Dr. Dre. So you were telling me this is not that Dr. Dre, but it's a different one?
No, this is not Dr. Dre as in Beats by Dre, Dr. Dre. This is one of the two hosts of the MTV show called Yo MTV Raps, whose name is also Dr. Dre, but the E has like an accent on it. So okay. It's Dr. Dre. It's funny because both of these guys were around at the same time, and the real Dr. Dre, please stand up. He always spelled his name with, you know, the abbreviation, the DR period. This Dr. Dre spells it out. Doctor. I wonder if they did that because, I don't know, conflict of interest, or maybe like maybe this Dr. Dre sent a cease and desist to the real Dr. Dre or something. I don't know.
I like how we're referring to one of them as the real one. The other one's just an imposter.
This guy, yeah, exactly. This guy is an imposter. Yeah. So, this song is by Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, who were co-hosts on this UMTV rap show.
Okay.
And this album was just an album that UMTV Raps released called Back Up Off Me. It was the only album they put out, and it was released back in 94. I don't think to a whole lot of success, although UMTV Raps was a fairly famous program back in the day.
So it was just a one-off album from the hosts of this TV show?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Obviously, they're like, well, we host a rap show, so obviously we're good at rapping, so let's make an album. Mm. Yo MTV Raps, for lack of a better term, was kind of like the Soul Train of the 90s.
With rap music?
With rap music. They would invite rappers on. They would interview them. They would have them perform, you know, do little weird performances, and there was comedy bits. But this show, actually, it was a 2-hour program, which is pretty damn long, ran from 88 to 95. And it was actually the first music show that really highlighted hip hop ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this is back, you know, late 80s, early 90s. This is when hip hop was really starting to reach kind of a mainstream audience.
Yeah.
Similar to Soul Train, it garnered a lot of attention for, you know, what would otherwise be lesser known artists, and made a lot of people famous. Like these
two guys. Interesting to know, like, who, because I know there's certain bands you could say that, like, gained traction because of their appearance on Soul Train. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's similar things with this Yo MTV Raps show.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's kind of cool.
I think part of the reason for this show and this I guess time slot too is MTV was still kind of wary about playing rap music videos, you know, during any and all times of the day, because, you know, tits and ass. So they set aside this UMTV Raps to kind of be like, you know, top, you know, rap videos or whatever, to, you know, give people airplay, but, you know, not play it at, you know, Saturday morning during kids' cartoon time. So yeah. Mommy, I was trying to watch SpongeBob, but now I just want to put him on the glass.
Jeez.
Terrible. So,
well,
yeah.
Should we
Toot on the Hooters?
Listen to Tootin' on the Hooters?
I think we should.
All right. This ain't no secret garden. She had chest like Dolly. I beg your pardon. She had me hard. And oh my God, I ride her like a scooter. But to put her in the mood, I need to toot up on the Hooters. Hooters. I love them Hooters. Can I get a toot on them Hooters? This song isn't bad. It's pretty catchy.
No, it's a good song. It's just, it was done by these two guys from Yo MTV Raps, and it didn't really catch a lot of fire.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Tootin' on the Hooters. So all these words are making me giggle. I don't know why talking about butts never makes me giggle, but I'm mature. So
we really should have gotten a female guest for this episode. I feel kind of like awkward.
Oh, I
like,
do too.
Two guys just talking about it. I feel kind of dirty, but
it's locker room talk, man. I mean, if the president can do it, we can.
God damn it.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
So in doing research on these songs, I also thought it pertinent to find some statistics. God, that's hard to say. Some titty statistics. See?
God, I can't say it either. Damn.
We're like having a stroke on air. We found some statistics on boobs, I guess. And the great bastion of data, Pornhub, actually kind of analyzed their viewership trends and found that younger audiences actually are searching for boobs at a lower pace than their older, I guess, generational counterparts, thus leading to the sensational article title, Millennials Don't Like Boobs.
Well, that's kind of jumping into conclusions, I think.
We like avocado toast, we like destroying businesses by not buying shit, and we apparently don't like boobs, so... So yeah, exactly. There was all these headlines, you know, millennials don't like boobs, and Pornhub, visitors, I guess in this statistical breakdown they did, visitors between the ages of 18 and 24 were 19% less likely to search for breasts than other age groups. But visitors 55 to 64 were 17% more likely to search. On top of that, apparently searches for small breasts actually have increased, where searches for large breasts have gone down. Searches for natural are around 5 times more than popular than searches for fake, because really, who likes fake boobs?
Mm.
Except, like, weird, rich, old guys. Trump! Anyways.
This has been a very political episode.
Oh, yes. Boobs are a very political topic.
Mm.
They're appreciated by the left and the right.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So,
that is kind of interesting to see. Because, I mean, like, obviously, we're talking about stats from one porn site,
but it's, like, the biggest porn site.
Right. So, I mean, you can kind of pull some cultural shifts from that data, in a way. I mean, like, it's speculation, right? But it's worth something.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of interesting that not only is there less interest in breasts, but also, like, there isn't such a fascination with huge ones.
Mm-hmm. What's funny, too, is they were able to break it down by not only state by state, but also worldwide by countries based on, you know, where IP addresses were.
Right.
There are still a handful of states that prefer boobs to butts, mostly in the, like, I guess, upper west, like Idaho, Montana, Colorado, that area.
Okay.
As well as Maine, Vermont, and what's the one next to Vermont everyone forgets about? New Hampshire. New Hampshire. It's Vermont's bitch.
Shout out to our listeners from New Hampshire.
However, aside from those handful of states, the rest of the country prefers butts. Now, getting political here again, I'm curious, especially with the advent of millennials, if the proclivity for butts as opposed to boobs is partially because of the diversity of millennials as opposed to older generations, which were predominantly white. You know, with the consistent growth of the Hispanic population in the U.S., as well as other minority groups. I'm curious if that has caused a sort of cultural shift to appreciate the booty. Because boobs are kind of a white man's thing. Although, in looking at this world map that shows, you know, what different countries prefer, along with most of Europe, it actually a large portion of Asia also prefers boobs to butts. Although I suppose that makes sense because Asian girls stereotypically don't have butts.
Shout out to our Asian listeners. So, you have written here, well, first of all, National Breast Day.
Yes, National Breast Day is March 30th. So
it's coming up in 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, we're way off.
So wait, if we're in the opposite of Breast Day, are we at National Butt Day?
I guarantee there probably is a National Butt Day. Yesterday was National Coffee Day. Or no, Friday was. So, hopefully you got a cup of coffee.
There doesn't seem to be an official National Butt Day, but there's lots of people trying to make it a thing.
I think, the thing about National Breast Day is it's meant to highlight breast cancer, not just titties. So, and since there's not really butt cancer, I mean, there is, but
it's no one really wants to talk about it. Of a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
There's prostate cancer, which is kind of your butt. Which I guarantee there probably is a prostate cancer day or a month or something. So always check your prostate.
Every day.
So getting back to this boob study, another study that I found that was actually published in Psychology Today found that
Not a porn site.
No. Thankfully. I don't want to see Freud naked. This study found that actually poor men liked larger breasts, whereas wealthier men preferred smaller-breasted women. And the study, conducted by two psychologists, actually analyzed the breast size preferences of 266 men of different economic backgrounds. And they found that men that were experiencing, quote, resource insecurity preferred larger boobs than men who were financially secure. The study goes to extrapolate that this is because poorer men's preferences can be attributed to, quote, a signal of fat reserves, which in turn advertises access to resources. So, it's one of those weird things where it's like if a guy sees a thick girl, you know, like thick with two C's, thick, they assume, oh, they eat a lot, they're well off, I'ma go after her. It's like reverse gold digging, I guess. If you see a well-fed girl, you know she's taken care of. Or if you see a skinny girl, it's like, oh, well, I have to provide for her to feed her.
Well, I've actually read about that kind of psychology. Like, culturally, like we our society looks down on heavier set people, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, genetically, we're, in a way, like, we're wired to actually seek out heavier partners. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, heavier women because of, like, that resource scarcity concept.
Yeah, it's funny. If you see, like, ancient, you know, figures and statues that they've uncovered from, like, long-dead civilizations like Sumerian and Egyptian and whatever, a lot of those statues worship and fetishize large-breasted women because they saw it as a sign of fertility and health. Whereas now it's almost the opposite, where larger, larger women are looked down upon because, you know, it's become a class thing where, oh, if you're fat, you're poor because you eat, you know, crap, cheap junk food. Mm. But exactly like you said, our brains are still evolutionarily wired to seek that out, even though, like, in modern society, it's looked down upon. It's seen as, you know, either a lack of impulse control or a lack of resources to be able to buy healthier food, what have you. Yeah. So, yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that breasts is kind of, like, as a subset of that, is kind of its own thing, too. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Before we go any further, do you know what it's time for?
Milk.
Yay.
You can't just say yay every damn time. God damn it. All right,
fine. Yes, I'll let you go get a glass of milk, Kyle, and the rest of us will sit here and listen to a fun commercial pre-recorded for your joy, listeners. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Peter.
Do you know what a website is?
No.
It's a thing on the internet, and you can go there, and it's fun.
Is that where I can find things to do?
Yes, you can find things to do there. GetYourFunk.com is a website for Funk Radio, and you can find our episodes there, and you can listen to them, and you can download them, and we have a tip jar. Do you like money, Kyle?
I love money.
Well, people will give us money there at GetYourFunk.com.
Yay!
Do you have a favorite episode of Funk Radio?
I like the one about butts.
Well, at GetYourFunk.com, you can use the search bar and type in butts, and it'll pull up our episode that we did a while back about butts.
Yay!
And now back to our previously scheduled content. Okay, well, we're back from that. Did you get some milk, Kyle?
Oh, I got some milk. I got milk all day. No, I got a glass of milk. Milk does the body good. And it's an excellent source of calcium.
Should we get back to the
getting back to the tracks, the titty tracks.
That doesn't count as a pun, by the way.
Sorry, I can't just put the word titties in front of things and call it a pun. The next song we have up is a very famous one. It's My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know this song. It was huge in, like, the mid-2000s. I think I was in, like, sophomore year of high school when this came out. So this song, My Humps, was off of Black Eyed Peas' fourth studio album called Monkey Business. And it was their third single from the album. The funny thing is, I read that Will.i.am actually initially wanted to give this song to this band, the Pussycat Dolls, that was popular at the time. they declined, so he let Fergie and the Black Eyed Peas do it. Musically, the song My Humps is kind of a hip-hop dance song, structured between a duet from will.i.am and Fergie. The song sparked controversy because of its title and lyrics, which center around a woman using her breasts and butt to accomplish her goals. Basically saying, like, you know, I'm gonna use my sex to get what I want.
Well, that's what we do here on Funk Radio.
Every day. That's why we have a tip jar on our website.
We should change it to tip jar.
If you put $10 in the tip jar, you get a 12-month calendar of sexy Kyles.
Each month Kyle take 12 pictures of himself with his shirt off.
Exactly.
So we're never gonna get any money now because people don't want that, probably.
I know. They don't want my lumps, my lovely lady lumps.
My lumps. Oh boy.
So on top of being controversial, music critics responded very negatively to the song, deeming it a repetitive and puerile form of sexual titillation. The song actually garnered comparisons to Kellis's 2004 hit single Milkshake, which presents similar sexual themes with the use of milk as a metaphor.
Which definitely is logical.
Yes. Yeah, everyone loves milk. Now, that's another point, actually, to really quickly make about boobs, is I've read in many different places that guys are attracted to larger breasts not only because of, as we were discussing before, the, you know, larger stores of fat, meaning, you know, you're better off, but also larger breasts are associated with motherhood and, you know, oh, this woman will better take care of my offspring and thus, you know, continue my genetic code, because they will be well fed.
Well, I think we talked about that a little bit in the butts episode too, right? Or I think so. Something along those same lines, right? Because I mean, yeah, that is, yeah.
Cool.
Oh no, yeah, right. No, because the bigger hips means like you can carry that your body can carry the extra weight of bearing a child or whatever. I don't remember
exactly
the exact science behind it, but
exactly. Whatever. So My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. Should we play a little clip?
We shall.
Yay. My lovely little lumps. Check it out. I drive these brothers crazy. I do it on the daily. They treat me really nicely. Whatever happened to Fergie? She's kind of like one of those, where are they now? I'm going to find out.
Except nobody actually asked that.
Where in the world is Fergie San Diego? She was part of the children's television series Kids Incorporated.
I have never heard of that.
I've vaguely heard of that. What is that? Hold on. We're going to go down the rabbit hole here. It's an American children's television program on the Disney Channel that aired from 86 to 94.
Oh, that's why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. I think it was kind of like the Mickey Mouse Club, but like for a slightly older generation, I guess. But for corporations. I guess that's where she got her start.
I thought you meant that's where she is now, but obviously that was a long time ago.
Yes. It says here that Fergie is solo. She's had 5 solo singles, and she actually released her second solo album, Double Duchess, just last week, September 22nd. Oh. Cool. So there you go. Good for her.
She's still doing stuff, apparently.
Yep. Now we know. And knowing is half the battle. The next song that I have is actually the song Milkshake by Kellis, which was mentioned to be compared to My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. So Kellis is weird. From everything I read, Kellis was kind of a one-hit wonder with this song. This song Milkshake was off of her third album Tasty, which I guess the title is apt. The funny thing is the song was originally offered to Britney Spears for her fourth album, In the Zone, but was rejected for unknown reasons. Apparently her milkshakes did not bring all the boys to the yard. The Kellis version was released in August 26, 2003, The interesting thing about the song was it was actually produced by Pharrell Williams and Chad Hugo, who called themselves the Neptunes. They were basically like a producer duo that produced a lot of really popular hip-hop songs in the mid-2000s. Mm. And they were distinctive in their sound because they used a lot of kind of stripped-down electronic funk sounds intermingled with Middle Eastern and Asian instruments.
Hmm.
So,
that's
yeah.
interesting.
This is great. They produced Light Your Ass on Fire by Busta Rhymes. Oh, that's great. Why did we not talk about that on our songs about butts?
Well, we'll have to do a butts part two.
Yeah, exactly.
Electric Boogaloo. Butts number two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Butts number two. This time it's cheekier. Puns.
Yeah.
Oh, they also helped produce Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg, which was astronomically huge. So, as I was saying, the Pharrell and Chad Hugo produced Milkshake by Kellis. This was a huge song. I remember the music video for it was pretty funny, too. It was, from what I remember, it was just her in the backyard making milkshakes and, like, just titties everywhere.
Sounds like a fun party.
Yeah. Now I want a milkshake. Damn. So, yeah, let's play a little clip of Milkshake by Kellis, and we can bring all the listeners to our yard.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right.
So, for the fifth and final song of our fantastic repertoire of... Damn it, I can't think of any boob words that start with R. Rax. I just said it. Rax City. Repertoire of Rax.
I don't think we had said Rack yet.
There you go. Thing. So the fifth song is Rack City by Tyga. I don't know who Tyga is. I don't really care to. So the song was released in 2011, and it was a third single from his second album, Careless World, Rise of the Last King. The content of this song basically just revolves around Tyga being in different places in Las Vegas whilst bragging about his rich lifestyle and all of the boobs around him. So, it's a perfect, like, Vegas strip club song. Really, any of these songs would probably make for good strip club songs.
Hmm.
But this is definitely the newest song on the list, coming out only about 6 years ago.
I feel like we talked about Tyga once before, but looking him up really quick, I don't really recognize any of his songs. So
yeah, exactly. Like I've heard
his
name.
Mentioned him once before.
I know he's a fairly popular rapper, hip hop guy, but yeah, none of his songs really seem that familiar to me.
Wait, is his album that's he had an album that came out in July? It's okay. all one word, bitch. I'm the shit too. That's the name of the album.
I hope there's a Bitch on the Shit 1, or else that's going to make a lot of people confused.
There's not. His album from the previous year was called Rawest Nigga Alive.
Okay. I think he's famous because he features a lot of better rappers on his songs than him. Like, there's a song featuring... No, I'm not even kidding. There's a song featuring Drake called Still Got It. There's a song featuring Chris Brown called For the Road. There's a song featuring Rick Ross called Dope. So he just finds rappers that are better and has them on his songs. And then he makes lots of money.
Here's the thing I'm noticing. Another very quick reference back to our 200th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like I'm like trying to like weave in this like promotion for ourselves, but it's not. But I'm noticing that his, like, when I was clicking on this guy's albums and, like, the track lists for these albums.
Yep.
His song titles, a lot of them have, like, because remember when we were talking about how more song titles and stuff had more, like, texting speak almost?
Yeah.
And more abbreviations. He's got a lot of, like, dollar signs as S's and words that are spelled in such a way that you might do it, like, through texting or... Weird. It's weird. I and it's really obnoxious because like most of the songs have some kind of shit like that.
Sign.
Yeah. And yeah, so that really bugs me.
He is, oh my god, he is literally the Donald Trump of rappers. He's worth between $5 and $8 million. Dr. Dre's net worth is $830 million.
Holy shit.
Well, he did sell Beats to Apple.
This is real Dr.
Like
Dre?
Yes. He did sell Beats to Apple for like $1 billion. So.
That's true. And a bajillion is part of 180-something million.
And for those of you that care, Snoop Dogg's net worth is $135 million.
Nice.
So this Tyga kid ain't worth shit compared to these rappers.
Ain't worth shit with the S here, and shit being
no,
a dollar sign.
No, I got it. Let's look up Drake's net worth because he featured Drake. Drake is worth $60 million. Rick Ross is worth $35 million. So I think there's a pattern here. He features richer rappers on his songs and siphons off money that they otherwise would have made by doing it themselves, and then puts dollar signs in all of his songs. I love that this entire show took a turn of just me shitting on this guy who I don't even know.
Yeah, we
I'm probably going to get murdered.
And there's going to be some listener who's like, hey, Tyga's my favorite guy. What do you guys talk about? I'm not gonna listen to punk radio anymore. And to that we say, no one already listens to funk radio, so you don't exist. Let's listen to Rack City by Tyga.
Okay.
Rack City, bitch. 10, 10, 10, 20s and the 50s, bitch. I'm a motherfucking star. Look at the paint on the car. Too much rim, make the right.
It's a song. I don't really care for it.
Me neither. But it's a song.
I was going to feel bad if like we had all the shit to say about him. It's like, oh, the song's actually really good. But I still feel bad, actually, because I feel like we should have something nice to say about Tyga.
Well, if you see a Tyga in need, adopt them today.
But not if it's Tyga.
Yes, adopt a Tyga. So yeah, that's the
also,
end of
you
my...
Also, you probably should not adopt tigers.
Yeah, they make terrible house pets, and then they kill you like Siegfried and Roy.
But you know what they have? Because human women, that sounded really fucking weird. So, women, you know, have two breasts, normally.
Usually.
But if you were to adopt a motherly tiger, you would observe as it's feeding its cubs that it has many, many teats.
Where is this going?
I don't know. I was trying to tie in the tiger thing.
Okay. I thought you were going to go into this thing of like, why don't humans have multiple boobs or something?
No, I was not, but... God. I feel like the last, like, 5 minutes of the show has just been, like, completely gone off the rails.
Oh, yeah. That's funk radio.
Yeah, it is. Jesus.
Yeah. So, that was the short list of Bodacious Boob songs.
If you listeners can think of any more breast-related songs, because I'm sure there's more out there, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. If you don't want to say anything to us, if we piss you off about talking shit about Tyga, but you still like us enough to listen, you can go to getyourfunk.com. Look up our other episodes there. We've got topics that don't have to do with body parts, but some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we float off into
the
world?
Oh, that's bullshit. I'm going to shit on Tyga one more time. Apparently.
Before we go.
Apparently Tyga, because it's spelled T-Y-G-A, is an acronym for Thank You God Always.
Okay.
And he ain't humble for shit. Lame.
if we had any last hope for our listeners who are Tyga fans, I think we just sent them off forever.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen in next time because we'll be talking next time. Bye.
Bye.